Text 21. This text is about the jiva. The subject of this verse is the jiva. Each verse has kind of a subject. Verse 20 was Govard Akshay Vishnu enters the universe. And text 19 was the universe is developed like that. This text 21 is on page 36. Sanityo nitya sambandha prakritischa parevasa. Translation. The same jiva is eternal and is for eternity. And without a beginning, joined to the Supreme Lord by the tie of an eternal kinship. He is transcendental spiritual potency. Another translation for that verse is, the jiva is eternal, and he has an eternal relationship with the Lord for beginningless and endless time. He is of the superior or transcendental energy, para-prakriti. So this verse, we'll read the purport first. Just as the sun is eternally associated with his rays, so the transcendental Supreme Lord is eternally joined with the jivas. So the Lord is the sun, and we're like the rays of the sun. If you have the sun, you must have sun rays. They're connected, but they appear to be separated. So we're eternally connected to the Lord, although we appear to be separated, just as the rays of the sun are eternally connected with the sun, although they may appear to be separated. And we say, oh, well, the sun is in my room, the sun rays, but the sun is not here. Or I'm here with all the other sun rays, but we don't see the sun, or we don't see Krishna. It's a nice analogy. It can be said another way, the first sentence. As there is a perpetual relationship between the sun and its rays of effulgence, the Supreme Lord and his jiva and the jivas similarly have an eternal relationship. Sentence 2. The jivas are the infinitesimal particles of his spiritual effulgence and are therefore not perishable like mundane things. In other words, the jivas are atomic particles of the Lord, his effulgence, and they're not temporary like mundane things. The jivas, being particles of Godhead's effulgent rays, exhibit on a minute scale the qualities of the divinity. In other words, we are one with God in quality, but different from God in quantity. Right? We've inherited a proportion of the Krishna's qualities, and that's explained by Rupa Goswami Nectar Devotion, that we have 79%. The jivas can have 79% of the qualities of Krishna. And then that's in a limited amount also. Krishna's attractive. Jivas can also be attractive to some extent. Krishna's wealthy. All these different qualities jivas can also have to some extent. But not all the qualities that Krishna has. Hence the jivas are identical with the principles of knowledge, knower, egoism, enjoyer, meditator, and doer. In other words, the jiva is an embodiment of perception. The perceiver, egoism, the enjoyer, the thinker, and the doer. So these are all attributes or qualities of the jiva, which are also in God. We are an embodiment of perception, and we also perceive. And we have ego or identity. We also enjoy. We also think, and we also do. So these are all things that Krishna does. He thinks, he does. Right? Thinking, feeling, and willing. We have. Krishna is the all-pervading, all-extending Supreme Lord, while the jivas have a different nature from his. In other words, you can say, the mutual distinction between Krishna and the jiva is that Krishna is almighty, or vibhu, while the jiva is atomic, or very tiny, anu. In other words, God is great and we are very small or tiny. That eternal relationship consists in this, that the Supreme Lord is the eternal master and jivas are his eternal servants. Jivas have also sufficient eligibility in respect to the mellow quality of the divinity. In other words, we can taste ras in relation to Krishna. The jiva is also endowed with ample eligibility in respect to ras, or tasting of divine ecstasy in relationship with the Lord. We have that potentiality within us. That is our potential to be ecstatic, to be blissful, to taste the ecstasy, to stay high forever, as they were saying in New York in the early days, passed out flyers, stay high forever, chant Hare Krishna, take the love feast, the Sunday love feast at your local Krishna temple. So that is inborn within all of us, and we're all hankering for that and looking for that and hoping to find that. Apareyamitas tvanyam prakritim vidimeyipuram. So, by this verse of the Gita, it is made known that the jivas are His transcendental potency. So this is the Bhagavad Gita, verse chapter 7, verse 5, where Krishna is talking about the energy, the material energy. There's different. There's two kinds of energy, para prakriti and apara prakriti, the material energy and the spiritual energy. So in 7.4, he talks about the material energy. So what is that verse? You know that verse? Bhumi arapo nalovayo, kamano buddhir evacha, ahankara tiyame vina prakriti ashrita. So Krishna says there's all these eight energies, and we've been discussing about those. And then he says, oh, but there's another energy, para prakriti, that's the soul. So the reason that Jiva is quoting this Bhagavad Gita verse in his tika is because the verse itself says prakritish cha parevacha sa, para prakriti, the spiritual potency. And that's what Krishna is also talking about in the Bhagavad Gita. So the jivas are Krishna's superior or transcendental energy. All the qualities of the unalloyed soul are above the eightfold qualities such as egotism. In other words, the pure soul, his qualities are all transcendental to the eight material qualities of ego, etc., pertaining to his achit potency. Hence, the jiva potency, though very small in size or magnitude, is still superior to the achit potency or maya. The jiva is, in other words, the jiva is very tiny, but by nature he has a superior power. And he's supposed to be out of illusion. He's not supposed to be in illusion. He has more power than maya, more power than illusion. This potency has another name, tatastha, or marginal potency. In other words, the jiva is called tatastha shakti, or tatastha potency. Being that he's located on the line of demarcation, the line demarcating the spheres of the spiritual and mundane potency. In other words, the jiva, he's located between the material energy or the external energy of God and the spiritual energy or internal energy. He's on the border. He's between maya and divinity. He is susceptible to the influence of the material energy owing to his small magnitude. In other words, due to his minute size, he is prone to be captivated by illusion. But so long as he remains submissive to Krishna, the Lord of Maya, he is not liable to the influence of Maya. In other words, if you stay with Krishna, you're not susceptible or overcome by Maya. The worldly afflictions, births and deaths and rebirths are concomitants of the fettered condition of souls fallen into the clutches of the deluding potency. From a time that has no beginning. In other words, a conditioned soul who is captivated by maya since time immemorial must undergo worldly suffering and sorrow and be reborn again and again. So they describe that the soul is anityam. He has no beginning. He's the nityabhata, the jivas, the tatastha jivas, we're bound in this world since time immemorial. There's no beginning. It's eternally. We've been eternally in this world, but it can come to an end. We don't come to an end. We're eternal. We eternally exist. But our experience, our stay in this material world can come to an end. So we're considered anitya. There's no beginning, but it can come to an end. In other words, it's eternal. We're eternally in the material world, but we can actually leave this and eternally exist in the spiritual world. And that's why Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita that once having gone there, you never return to this world. What's that verse? What's that verse? I can't remember the verse, but it's where he says that once one has come to me, he never returns to this world. And it's also the same in chapter 4, verse 9, where he said, if you understand my transcendental birth and activities, you come to me and you don't take another birth. Na puna vidya janmate. Krishna tells Arjuna, when you come here, you don't take another birth. But as long as you're in this Tatastha region, you were born and reborn time and again. So, in the reference to, in relation to this purport, we can read Bhagavad Gita 7.5 and understand more. And the there's some notes I have here to explain some qualities. There's 9 basic qualities of the jiva, which are mentioned in this verse and purport. So we'll summarize those 9 points. Some people are note takers and students, and they like things like this. But anyway, if you analyze this purport, you can see 9 points are made. So one's analogy, comparing the identity of the soul with the sun. So these are 9 points. So jiva is described as being eternal spirit and eternally related with Krishna. Krishna in his form of, in this case, Mahavishnu, Garbhadaksha Vishnu, etc. So point 1, the jiva is like the sun associated with its rays. Krishna being the sun, and we're like the ray of the sun. Pencil of ray of effulgence from the body of Mahavishnu. Number 2, the jivas are like infinitesimal particles of the effulgence of Mahavishnu, according to Brahma Samhita. Number 3, the jivas exhibit on a minute scale the qualities of Krishna. And we have a little bit of the qualities, but not all the qualities, and not all the amount of Krishna. 4, God is the master, and we are all, the jivas are all servants of the Lord. 5, we are in essence transcendental potency. 6, the essence of the soul or the jiva is that he's superior to matter. 7, but his location of the jiva is Tatastha. He's on the boundary or the border between the spiritual and material worlds. 8, he's susceptible to Maya. In other words, we can fall into Maya. We can become attracted to Maya. But the eternal residents of the spiritual world, they don't see Maya. They have no idea of Maya. They have no capacity to be attracted by Maya. But we have that inborn capacity created by the Lord due to our eternal nature of being attracted to Maya as long as we're residing on the Tata. But that's the nature of the Tata, the border. Anyone who lives there has that nature. But since you leave that place, when you no longer live in the Tatastha region, when you live in the Chit Dham or Hari Dham or the spiritual world, then your nature changes. As Krishna says, you no longer will come back here. And then you take on the attributes of the eternally liberated souls. Just like we are Nitya Bhada, we're eternally conditioned. But when we become Siddha, when we realize our sarup and attain sarup siddhi, then vastu siddhi, then we become nitya siddha. We exhibit the qualities of nitya siddha. We become eternally perfect, and we never, ever, ever again come back to this material world. But the quality of jivas in the Tatastha region is, number 8, is susceptible to maya. 7 is that they're Tatastha. They're located on the boundary. 9 is they can be free from Maya through Krishna consciousness. So that's why we're all sitting here. To become Krishna conscious and get free from Maya. Is it right? And then all these 9 qualities we can throw away and exhibit the blissful qualities of Satchidananda. So a little bit we can say, is there any questions so far? Number 5 is that the jiva's nature is that he's transcendental potency. He's actually transcendental, but he's very minute. We said his magnitude is very small. He's actually chit shakti, but he's a very finite point. He's just a very, like a, You know, how much can the sun, can one ray of sun burn coming through your window? But when that sun ray amplifies his power by putting a magnifying glass between him and his source, then he can burn a leaf. Just like an ordinary jiva, he doesn't have much power to burn. Or to, you know, like an ordinary sun ray doesn't burn a piece of paper or a dried leaf. But if you focus, if you put a magnifying glass between that piece of paper and let the sun, same sun ray pass through that, when it comes out of the magnifying glass, it can burn. So that's like, that magnifying glass means that that increases the potency of the sun ray. So that's like guru. Guru, because his consciousness becomes pure, becomes like a magnifying glass. Guru becomes like a magnifying glass. Although he's only one ray of the sun of Krishna, you know, he's a jiva, but when he becomes, consciousness becomes pure, then he becomes like a magnifying glass. So then when he focuses his sun ray on some dried leaf of someone's heart, then it burns up the sins. He has more power. Oh, but ordinarily, an ordinary ray of sun coming through the window can't do anything. But when he has this magnifying glass, then he concentrates, his energy is concentrated. Then anything he focuses on, he can burn. He has the power to burn. So he attains a quality similar to the sun. The sun can also burn. It burns your skin. It burns the leaves on the trees in the hot summer. So Guru has the power to burn. He can concentrate. He has greater chit shakti. Every tattvastha jiva exhibits chit shakti, but to a very minute potent power, like one ray of sun. But as the consciousness becomes pure and we throw off the maya, then our chit shakti exhibits its original quality. That's why they say the jiva is more brilliant than 10 million suns. So how much burning power is that? So there, that's like the guru. The guru, he transcends the modes of ignorance and passion and goodness. He comes to the transcendental position of chit shakti, of the original potency of the soul, of every soul. And then he's concentrated. He concentrates and becomes sun-like. He becomes like Krishna. And he can purify the soul by his association, by his teaching, by his knowledge. That's how Guru has power, because he exhibits the original chit potency of Krishna, or of the soul, which is is in quality one with Krishna. So we have some note about the origin of the jiva. Interesting subject. What makes the jiva come into the material world? So this is discussed by Bhaktivinoda Thakur in Jiva Dharma. That if you see if you analyze the difference, we are a servant eternally, the jivas, the tattvastha jivas, are a servant of the Lord. And everyone's position is to be a servant of the Lord. Everyone that expands from Krishna is Krishna's servant. Radharani expands from Krishna. She serves Krishna. Of course, he's also a servant. Balaram expands from Krishna. He serves Krishna, and he expands himself into five different forms to serve Krishna, like the Purusha avatars, Anantashesh, etc. So you can see that all of Krishna's expansions, they're located in different dhams. There's Durga Dham, Mahesh Dham, Hari Dham, all these different dhams or places for service. So we are a part of Krishna. We are expanded from Krishna. It is true, we are part and parcel of Krishna, but not Vrijendranandan Krishna, and not Ayodhyapati Ram. We're not part of Ram or Vaikunthapati, but we're part of Mahavishnu. And he has his dham, his location, right? This world, Viraja River, and he glances across the Viraja to this Maya energy, deluding potency. So we have our place in Devi Dham. This is Devi Dham, which we'll hear later in Brahma Samhita. So all of these different servitors of the Lord are expanded from the Lord in his different forms. So that's analyzed very nicely. For example, I'll read it and we can discuss it if you don't understand it. In the spiritual world of Braja Gokul, where Krishna lives with all his eternal associates, he has servants, and they expand. So from Balaram's body, all of the male servitors expand in Braja Gokul. Sudam, Sridam, Subal, Nanda Baba, etc. And so Krishna expands into Balaram, Balaram expands into all the coward boys, all the gopas, young, old, etc. Then Krishna expands into Radharani. So Radharani is Shakti,
Shakti Tattva.
But then she expands into all the female personalities in Braja Gokul. The first expansion of Radharani is Kayavyuha, the personal expansion of her body, which explains Adi Leela, chapter 4. So Radharani expands her personal body into her Astrasakis, Lalita Vishaka, Chandravali is also there, and all the gopis. And then the gopis expand into the Mahishis, the queens of Dwarka, and then they expand into the queens of Vaikuntha, and they expand into the devis of the devatas, Uma, Arundhati, etc., Savitri, all the wives of the demigods, and then they, like that. So, when you go from Braja Gokul, then the go out from the center of that lotus of Braja Gokul, you go to Vaikuntha and all the millions of Vaikuntha planets. So there, Balaram expands as Mahasankarshan. Krishna goes to Balaram, Balaram goes to Mahasankarshan, Mahasankarshan makes Chaturvyuha, right? Chaturvyuha, Sankarshan, Pradyumna, Aniruddha, Vasudeva, like that. So, all the associates and all the servitors of Lord Narayan and Lord Vishnu in the Vaikunthas, they are expansions from Mahasankarshan, right? So then you have the Chaturvyuha. And then from the Chaturvyuha you have Sankarshan. And Sankarshan expands into the Purusha avatars. Remember? This is what we're studying. The Purusha avatars are Mahavishnu, Garbhadakshay Vishnu, Shiradakshay Vishnu. So now we're coming to another realm, another dham, another place. So Mahavishnu, all the servitors of the Lord who are serving the Lord in the material world expand from Krishna in his form of Balaram, in his form of Mahasankarshan, in his form of the Purusha avatar is Mahavishnu. So all the parts and parcels of Krishna in the form of Mahavishnu, who are servitors of Mahavishnu, expand from Mahavishnu, from his glance, and that's us. So everyone is a part and parcel of Krishna. Everyone is serving Krishna eternally, but it's a different location, and you're part and parcel of a different form of Krishna, depending on where your location is. That's your source. You understand this? Who's confused about this? So like we say, I'm part and parcel of Krishna. You are. But so is Subal and Sridham. They're in the Vrindavan, in eternal Vrindavan, expanded from Balaram and serving Krishna. Well, where are you? You're not serving Krishna. You're serving Krishna in the material world, in this Srishti Leela. What's your question? Go through Prabhupada's books. I personally went through Prabhupada's books, and I spoke for 6 hours, or I don't know, maybe 9 hours, quoting all Prabhupada's books to show how the jivas come from Mahavishnu. Only quotes in Prabhupada's books, 9 hours of discussion. And you can go through Prabhupada's books and find a few quotes that, you know, we were with Krishna. Well, we are, that's what I'm trying to explain to all of you. We are with Krishna, we're eternally with Krishna, we're eternally serving Krishna. But not in Nandagram, not in Barsana, in New York, in Rome, in Russia, in Moscow, and wherever. But it's a sticky leela. It's not so nice. And Krishna says, okay. Vishnu says, it's nice. You're enjoying. This is nice. We had this leela here. But now I want you to come and have another leela. I'm inviting you for another leela. Would you like to come? So he comes in so many avatars and so many incarnations and so many acharyas to invite us. And then he comes himself and shows his Krishna leela. and displays the whole spiritual world before our eyes in Rome and in all these places. He comes here and come to Vrindavan and see and hear about it and become attracted, and then you can come and experience this Leela. So there are different rasas everywhere. There are rasa everywhere. Rasa, we read this in the purport of Brahma Samhita. That's right there. The rasa, or that's in the next verse. The rasa is there in every part of Krishna is full of rasa. And every expansion of Krishna is full of rasa. And so we're full of rasa. But now we have our Vatsali rasa with our mommy, our papa, mama. Now we have our Sakya rasa with Joe and Bill and Mary and Sunil and, you know, whatever. So we have our different rasas. We're having ras, but it's perverted as nectar devotion. The whole introduction of nectar devotion is all about ras. And everybody's moving to taste ras. Because if ras means taste. Without taste, you can't move. You can't live. So ras is there. I have a mango seed. You know a mango? Am Beach. This very special Am Beach was given to me by my grandfather. It's very old. And he said it's very special. It was given by our great grandfather in Haryana, but we've been living in the city for several generations. We have no land, but if you plant this seed, you'll get nice trees someday if you get some land. So then you work very hard, but you never get any land, and then you die and you give it to your son. He says, someday, son, if you get land, you plant this mango seed, it'll produce very nice mangoes. So then he works very hard, but then he doesn't make enough money to get land, and he gives it to his son. And this mango seed gets passed down for hundreds of years, even thousands. And finally, one person gets some land and he plants it, and sure enough, it grows into a beautiful mango tree with beautiful, delicious, sweet fruits. So, the jiva is emanating from Mahavishnu, basing, you know, Brahma Samhita, Jiva Dharma, etc. They have an nitya sarup. They have a seed of rasa and seva for the Lord. And that is eternally in a potential state. And then in the right field, in the right conditions, then that will manifest. That's the situation. So that's a whole other discussion. But this is, so you can understand, just like they went into Egypt to the Great Pyramids, and they went into the sarcophagus, or the center point there, you know, these scientist people. It's all in a science magazines. And they found these mummies there, you know, these mummies and these dead bodies of pharaohs and kings and all these guys from a few thousand years ago. And they found swords and jewels and, you know, pots and, you know, all kinds. And they give food and stuff for the people to go with. Just like when, and it's not strange, because if you read the Haridas Tirobhav, Haridas Thakur, when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu made the samadhi of Thakur Haridas in Puri, Ananti Leela, you can see that they buried Haridas Thakur. What did they bury with? They put with him. If you are familiar with Prabhupada's books, which you should be, Mahaprabhu put Haridas's body in the sand, and he put some Jagannath Mahaprasadam, they put some rope from his chariot. They buried different things with him. So they put some Mahaprasad there. So similarly, they put wheat, whole wheat, you know, solid wheat, atabija, you know, whole wheat. And when they dug up, you know, these guys 3,000 years ago, these pyramids, they took those, what we call in English, wheat berries or wheat seeds. The scientists put them in the ground and they grew up wheat. So they're sitting there for 3,000 years, unmanifested, but potential. So the jiva may be in the material world for 3 billion trillion kalpas in an unmanifested state. Until he meets Guru. What's that shloka? Brahmanda Brahmate Kon Bhagyavana Ji Guru Krishna Prasadi by Bhakti Lata Bij. So the Guru provides the setting. He provides the setting by his kripa for that bija that's in the heart to manifest. And that, according to Nectar Devotion by Rupa Goswami and Jiva Goswami's Tika, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's commentaries, that particular jiva, that particular latent, dormant, individual rasa of every jiva starts to manifest on the plane of a sakti and becomes very clear to the plane of bhav. Adoshara tata sarasanga, right? You come to Bhav. Then you know, oh, I'm a Vaikunthavasi, or whatever, you know, I'm a whatever, Vrijavasi. Okay? So I want to read the same thing in a summary. You can read this in Jiva Dharma also if you want. And in Chaitanya Shikshamrita and other places too. In Braja Vrindavan or Braja Gokul, all the servants of Krishna in the spiritual world expand from Mool Ashraya Vigrahas. Mool Ashraya Vigrahas. The Mool is Sankarshan or Lord Baladev. And Srimati Radharani. In other words, the Mool Ashraya Vigraha, the root Vigraha, the form that of these shelter of all these servants, is Lord Balaram and Srimati Radharani. All the gopis and sakis are manifestations of Srimati Radharani, and all the boys and male personalities manifest from Lord Balaram. So the living entities expand from Mool Sankarshan or Lord Baladev to eternally serve Krishna in Dasya Sakya Vatsalya Ras. Right? That's from Balaram. The gopis are female servitors. They expand from Srimati Radharani. Direct expansions of Radharani are called Kayovyuha, direct expansions of the transcendental spiritual body of Srimati Radharani. And then from Mahasankarshan, all the eternally liberated servants, eternally liberated eternal servants of Krishna and Vaikuntha expand. In other words, the servants of Brahma, the Sringa, Vamana, etc. Then Mahasankarshan expands in the material world as the Purushavatar and Mahavishnu. And from here, according to Brahma Samhita also, from here, Mahavishnu, all the Tathasta Jivas come. A few of these Tathasta Jivas who expand from Mahavishnu are Nitya Mukta, eternally liberated living entities. But more than half are Nitya Bhada Jivas. Hey, that's us. God, we're in the majority. All right, majority rules. More than half of us are stupid, foolish, ignorant. You know, we're Buddhas, we're conditioned. So, more than half are Nitya Bhada Jivas, eternally conditioned souls. Now, interesting question. Who determines which Jivas are bound and which are free? Hey, interesting. What does Bhaktivinoda say? Jivas themselves don't make the decision. And the analogy is given, just as a mustard seed is balanced on the tip of a dagger. Dagger means a knife, you know, chaku. You have a knife with a sorso bij, with a mustard seed on the end of it. Where is it going to go? Which way is it going to fall? Don't know. As a mustard seed is balanced on the tip of a dagger, some fall to one side, some fall to the other. There's no real explanation, according to Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and it's often called achintya. Like Prabhupada sometimes, when he uses the phrase, when he describes the origin of the jiva, he says, somehow or other. You ever hear this phrase? And in these books he says, and in his lectures somehow, when people ask him so many times, well, Prabhupada, how do we come here? How do we get... He said, well, somehow or other, the jiva has fallen into this world. But anyway, it's not important how we got here, it's important how to get out. And we make an effort to get out. Just like if a man is trapped in a burning house, and that's the analogy Prabhupada gives, and his two brothers, they're sitting there up on the third floor, and the house is burning, first floor, ground floor, flames everywhere. They sit on the edge of their bed, and they're talking, one brother, how do you think the fire started? I don't know, I think it started, maybe a cat got his tail on the fire in the stove or something, on the pilot light, and then hit the Sunday newspaper, and then that started the dining room table on fire. No. I think maybe some spark, you know, there was some spark in the garage or something and it hit the gasoline. You know, so it's ridiculous to try to figure out how the fire started, right? The essential thing is to save your life and to get out of the burning building. So the essential thing is not to spend 5,000 lifetimes trying to understand how we got here, but the essential thing is to do bhajan. Shravanam, kirtanam, vishnu, smaranam. Right? Hear and chant, remember about Krishna. Then very quickly you'll get out of material consciousness, out of the material body, and out of this world. And the fire will be over. Samsara Dhammanala. It'll be just finished. So, Bhaktivinoda explains, there's no real explanation to really understand the origin. To really understand it, how we got here, requires one to have pure consciousness, shuddha chit, by which one will realize the fact. It is a matter of self-realization, not mental understanding or intellectual perception. By chanting Harinam, one can realize this position, the chit-shakti position, or the origin of the minute chit potency, or the ray of transcendental consciousness known as tatastha jiva, or us. No amount of material explanation, thoughts, or reflections will reveal this truth. It is not a material thing. Only by Hari Bhajan one can understand. When he's completely free from material contamination, then the original idea will manifest. This is the opinion or the realization of Jiva Goswami, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. So, to kind of leave the fiery range of realm of that discussion about the jiva, we're just based on the Brahma Samhita, which is the subject we're discussing.